Behavior, the ethics of mind training. True understanding carries an imperative to manifest what we know in action and in life. The purpose of mind training is to stabilize awakening mind by refining the way we perceive and relate to what arises in experience. Awakening mind, Sanskrit bodhicitta, is the intention to live awake. Awake to the nature of experience, emptiness, and present in all that arises in experience, compassion. Awakening mind is the union of emptiness and compassion. The ethics of mind training are about how to manifest the union of emptiness and compassion in life. To know emptiness means that you know directly that life is only what you experience. To know compassion means that you fully attend to what arises in experience because it is all you know and can never know. Because mind training focuses on the expression of compassion, the primary ethical consideration is how to attend to what arises in experience. The ethics of mind training come down to two key points to be avoided: rejecting others and corrupting practice. Rejecting others. The first aim is not to reject others, which means, in practical terms, to stop being unpleasant. The more deeply you train in taking and sending, the more clearly you understand that suffering is suffering, whether experienced by you or someone else. You naturally wish that others not suffer. Just as naturally, you see that unpleasantness toward others has no place in your life. Trying to get the best of someone, dwelling on their faults and failings, harboring grudges, retaliating against impoliteness, shirking responsibilities, and trying to benefit from someone's misfortunes are examples of unpleasantness. Bring attention to sore points. What are the sore points in your life? An irritating colleague? A rebellious teenage son? A loud and obnoxious neighbor? Whatever the source of irritation, pain, or hurt, apply the technique of taking and sending. Take in and open to the experience until you can experience the irritation, pain, or hurt for what it is, a sensation. Send out your own happiness and well-being, understanding that, whatever the pain or difficulty, it is only an experience. When we experience pain, attention often collapses and we just react. All we can think of is how to stop the pain. The pain becomes the enemy, and we try to destroy it or whatever we, in confusion, think is causing it. We kill the messenger, who may be a colleague, neighbor, or even our spouse or partner. Practice taking and sending in the moment and stop identifying with reactions to pain. Transform suffering into attention and awareness. Don't seek pain to support your happiness. I hope he fails. Does this kind of thought ever cross your mind? The essence of compassion is wanting others not to suffer. But when situations arise in which you will benefit from another's misfortune, you hope for the misfortune to happen, or even do what you can to cause it. At a retreat many years ago, an actor once asked my teacher, Kala Rinpoche, how to approach auditions. Because only one person can have the part, the actor asked, am I causing other people misfortune if I compete for it? Rinpoche replied that the matter really came down to intention or motivation. If, he said, your intention is to beat the other person, then yes, you are intending to cause them pain from which you benefit. But if your intention is to do the best that you can as an actor, then you are not seeking their pain for your happiness. I once asked another Tibetan teacher about euthanasia. This is very tricky, he replied. Suppose you hear a screech of brakes and a thud. You go outside and you see that your dog has been hit by the car. His back is broken, his head is smashed, and he is whimpering and writhing, obviously in great pain. You go back into your house, take a gun, and shoot your own dog. What's wrong with that? But if you hesitate for a moment, everything changes. Don't put the horse's load on a pony. This instruction is about assuming personal responsibility for difficulties in your life. Wash your own dishes. This instruction works on many levels. You have to lay off an employee. Don't delegate the job to another person. Speak to the employee yourself. This is what your life has brought you, so face it and bring all your attention to the matter. If you were in the employee's position, how would you want your boss to tell you? What help, assistance, or support would you like? What severance package would feel fair and appropriate? What can you do within or even outside the company's policies? On quite a different level, suppose that you have difficulty in handling your own anger. Instead of experiencing it, you fly off the handle at anyone who is around, whether that person is your spouse, your child, your brother, or a friend. Everyone knows this about you, and those close to you try not to take the tantrums personally. But you are still putting the horse's load on a pony. You are making them experience your anger instead of experiencing and releasing it in attention yourself. Don't wait in ambush. Because revenge is always based on the past, not on the present, it is totally contrary to the ethics of mind training. You cannot exact revenge without being marked by the action. So, when somebody injures you, address the injury as a matter of restoring balance, not as a matter of revenge. Revenge is the desire to cause pain to another in the mistaken belief that their pain will remedy your own. Take a moment to recall an incident when somebody injured you, even intentionally. Now imagine taking revenge on that person. What motivates the action in you? Anger or presence? How does that person's pain help you with yours? What are you setting in motion inside you by wishing pain on this person? Do you really want that dynamic operating in you? Now ask, what needs to happen in order for me to be able to let go of the pain of this injury and move forward in my life? Corrupting practice. The second key point is not to serve sleep or, alternatively, not to allow habituated patterns to corrupt practice. Holding a view of being an accomplished individual, trying to impress others with your achievements, anticipating how practice will make you a better person, and using mind training to relieve discomfort instead of experiencing it directly are all corruptions of mind training practice. Corruption is a progressive process. Small compromises with habituated patterns make larger compromises more acceptable. Gradually, habituated patterns take over your practice and your life. Don't reduce a god to a demon. One of the most common pitfalls on the spiritual path is to develop an identity as a spiritual practitioner. I'm a spiritual person. One teacher I met many years ago would introduce his students saying, "This is Jane, she's a great meditator." Or, "This is Jim, he has made great progress in his practice." Something is deeply amiss here. The practice of Buddhism is not about becoming a great this or a great that, but about being so completely in tune with what is that you move through life without leaving any traces, like a bird flying in the sky. In mind training, you are deliberately giving victory to others and accepting defeat in order to generate friction with your habituated patterns of self-cherishing and self-importance. If you tell people that you are deliberately accepting defeat, you undermine the whole enterprise. Telling another person how compassionate you are not only leaves a bad taste in the mouth, it is the antithesis of true compassion, the willingness to be with the other when he or she is in pain. Making an issue of your magnanimity, empathy, or patience just reveals that your so-called compassion it's about maintaining a self-image. You've taken a god, the practice of mind training, and reduced it to a demon, a means by which you reinforce a sense of identity. Change your attitude, but behave naturally. Another common pitfall is to try to impress others with your practice of mind training. You make a show of giving a better seat to another person, or waiting for others to be served first, of letting the other person have the last word. Such behavior is not only obnoxious, it reinforces the pattern of being special. The behavior that comes from mind training is completely natural and uncontrived, and so unnoticed. I have a cousin in England, a dentist, who exhibits this quality wonderfully. Without any ostentation or manipulation, he is there holding the door open for you. I didn't notice this trait at first, but as I observed his behavior, I saw how he naturally gave way to others, made others feel comfortable, without any effort or contrivance on his part. If I made a point of holding the door open for him, he just stepped through it without comment or ceremony. Bring your mind training practice into how you move and how you speak. A person who practices mind training is a good listener, an active listener, to use a modern phrase, but the listening is completely natural and not forced. Mind training is basically a secret practice, a practice that you do unbeknown to others. Don't revert to magic. This instruction means that you don't use mind training to feel better. Many people use meditation to discharge the emotional tension of difficult situations. But the intention of mind training is different. When you encounter unpleasantness, use mind training to experience it completely, inviting in the same sort of unpleasantness from all beings everywhere. You aren't going to feel better. You're going to feel a lot worse. And you're going to feel worse and worse until you realize that an unpleasant experience is only an unpleasant experience, not the end of the world. Don't use mind training to make things better. Whichever of the two arises, be patient. Mind training is a very tough practice. Here you start relating to life as experience. What you experience is your life. Sometimes what you experience is very unpleasant, so you experience unpleasantness. Know it to be an experience and nothing more. Sometimes what you experience is very pleasant, so you experience pleasure. Know it to be pleasure and nothing more. When you encounter adversity or unpleasantness, you usually think that something has gone wrong. You go to work, figure out what has gone wrong, and correct it if you can. In particular, you tend to work harder at spiritual practice when you encounter major difficulties and unpleasantness in your life. In the case of mind training, this is essentially a corruption of practice. When adversity arises, use mind training to experience it completely. Use mind training to burn up the patterns that try to resist or avoid what is arising in experience. On the other hand, when you encounter pleasure, you are apt to take credit and feel that you have done something right. You are less motivated in spiritual practice and tend to go to sleep in the experience of pleasure. Mind training directs you to relate to pleasure in exactly the same way that you relate to discomfort, as experience. When pleasure arises, give it away to others. When discomfort arises, take the discomfort of others into you. The Mahamudra tradition refers to a stage of practice when the circumstances of life change dramatically. Sometimes the change is for the better. Everything goes right. Your work goes better. You prosper. Everyone gets along in your family and circle of friends. You become famous, respected, and honored. This is called good fall. Sometimes the change is for the worse. You become ill. You lose your job. Your friends leave you, and people regard you as unreliable, stupid, or unsociable. This is called bad fall. Why some people experience a good fall and others experience a bad fall is a mystery. But the instruction is the same. Both kinds of falls are just experiences. Ironically, those who experience a bad fall usually continue to make progress in their practice, and those who experience a good fall often let their practice fade away. The ethical principles in mind training provide a sounding board for us to be clear about what is happening internally. But for mind training to act as that sounding board, we must take as absolute our own intention to awaken to compassion and emptiness.